Hello, and welcome to the third season of Databook. I'm Jack Murtha.
And I'm Tom Castles. Of course, to open up the third season, we've got some interesting news. We here at Healthcare Analytics News have recently acquired MedTech Boston. It's an awesome site that covers the health tech and med tech communities in Boston, but has a much larger national presence. We're really excited to kick off this relationship and see where it could take us.
So check them out online, hcanews.com and medtechboston.com. Also, please, if you don't already, check us out on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. And if you like Databook, please remember to rate, subscribe, and review.
So without any further ado, let's jump right in to season three. For today's story, we're taking you to, well, right where we are, the dawn of the year 2019.
In the U.S. and elsewhere, it's a time of increasing high-tech change, deep societal divisions, and general uncertainty about the economy or politics, where tech will take us.
You already know this because, well, you're right here with us in 2019. It's a crazy time. You're living through these changes with us.
But I've got something that you might not know or totally appreciate.
And Jack, what's that?
It's the findings of a new report. This report comes from Oxford University's Center for the Governance of AI, Artificial Intelligence.
So last year, some very, very smart people asked about 2,000 American adults about AI and their hopes, their fears, and so on.
And the results? Well, they might surprise you, they might not.
First off, people think AI is really going to explode in the imminent future. And they're really worried about the bad things that AI could do.
People are as worried about AI's potential problems as they are about cyber attacks and how big tech companies misuse our data.
Secondly, pretty much everyone is anxious about AI, at least to some degree. It's not just a wealthy VC or hoodie and jeans tech startup sort of concern. In fact, the report found that women and poor people are actually the most nervous.
And that's fair. Why shouldn't we be concerned about new tech whose implications we don't fully understand, however promising the technology itself might be?
The thing is, as our previous guest Joshua Gans told us, AI algorithms are essentially prediction machines, at least right now.
So rather than fear what AI might bring, today we're going to take you to a few places where developers are really on the cutting edge.
It's our way of predicting what AI might do across industries in 2019.
And then we'll reintroduce you to Kate McCarthy, who is joining us for her second time on Databook.
She's VP of Innovation and Growth at a startup called Clear Data and a former healthcare analyst for Forrester.
That basically means it was her job to be a human prediction machine. And Kate's going to take us to Silicon Valley, where big tech is using AI and any number of other technologies to try to transform healthcare.
So what's in store for this beautiful new year that's out before us? Will AI take over humankind? Could launching a machine learning algorithm program become as simple as clicking buy now on Amazon?
Or maybe, just maybe, big tech will finally open up the information in our seemingly impenetrable electronic health records.
Our first look at the future of AI brings us to your couch, or your bed, your seat on the train, really wherever you binge Netflix or any other streaming service.
Let's be honest here. Almost no one I know has active accounts with every streaming service that they use. There's a lot of password sharing going on.
And it seems like the HBO Go's and the Hulu's of the world are kind of okay with that.
But maybe not for long.
And you can blame AI for this threat to your happiness.
Specifically, Cinemedia. This is a company from the UK, and it has just burst its way into the spotlight.
And that's all thanks to its brand new machine learning service that can supposedly identify accounts that are sharing passwords.
So look at it this way. Let's say Netflix signs a deal with Cinemedia. All of a sudden, the AI would begin digging through every last bit of user data.
The algorithms would check when a user is streaming, where they're watching, what shows they like, and so on.
It's all meant to unearth patterns that say, hey, it's pretty likely that this user is sharing a password.
And in the end, Cinemedia's platform even comes up with a probability score for that case.
So what comes next?
Well, that will be up to the individual streaming service. Maybe HBO Go gives you the boot. Maybe Amazon Prime sends you an email asking you kindly to kick your friends or kids off the account. And maybe, and hopefully, Netflix just does nothing.
But just how much this type of machine learning will catch on is unclear. Some insiders say that streaming services don't really mind a little bit of password sharing.
But who knows for sure? By 5 or 10 years from now, we might just be used to paying for our own passwords.
And if that's the case, it's all because of AI.
Next, let's venture, where we go so often, to the heart of Silicon Valley.
We're going to check in on two tech companies with very big names, Intel and Facebook.
That's right. Intel, the chipmaker, and Facebook, the data harvester, or social networking site, whatever you prefer.
Believe it or not, these two tech stars are teaming up on a project that could elevate AI even further.
They're working on a chip that they hope will cut the steep costs of AI. It had become prepackaged with machine learning algorithms, which could slash the price of energy and hardware.
Now, this is not necessarily a consumer-grade product, don't get us wrong. It is most definitely meant for businesses that want to see what AI can do for them.
And this chip, it's due out later this year.
And look, other chip makers are already in the AI game, but Intel promises that this will be a step ahead and it comes with some big name recognition.
The point is, this project continues the growing trend of AI hardware. More and more tech companies are working on ways of incorporating AI into everyday business. They're trying to funnel the power of the prediction machine to companies that probably didn't consider AI as an option in the not-too-distant past.
Now, what does this all mean? Well, let's just look to Wall Street. Most of the trades that occur each day are already automated. They're already executed by algorithms, not human instinct.
And ventures like the one between Facebook and Intel simply mean that more industries are going to be betting on AI.
Now, let's quickly turn to Flint, Michigan. It might be the last place where you expect to hear an AI story, but this once mighty industrial city's tech story could have been more exciting than anything out of Silicon Valley.
It could have been, but in the end, this story was a disappointment, perhaps a hard-learned lesson.
So you can check out The Atlantic for the full story on this, but here is the gist. Flint, as you know, has been suffering from a pretty horrible water crisis thanks to really high levels of lead.
Then, a few years ago, some computer scientists got a bit of help from Google to develop AI that could reasonably predict which homes had lead pipes that needed to be replaced.
If this worked, it would save time, money, maybe even people's health.
And it did work for the most part. We're talking about a success rate of around 70%, which isn't really that great for medicine, but it's a solid rate for finding old pipes.
Flash forward a little bit, and Flint decides to bring in a new contractor to take over this whole pipe replacement job. And this company, in the end, it chooses to ignore the AI's predictions when it comes to excavations. And what happens to the pipe finding success rate?
It drops to 15%.
Ouch. So the takeaway, ignore AI and really all tech at your own risk. Now, to get a feel for what we can expect at the intersection of healthcare and technology in 2019, we're welcoming back an old friend, Kate McCarthy. She's Vice President of Innovation and Growth at a startup called Clear Data. She used to work at Forrester, where she was an analyst looking at all things healthcare. And before that, well, she has a pretty extensive track record of being in the trenches of health tech. We figured it would be great to bring Kate back on the show to get a look at what big tech companies like Apple, Amazon, and Google, so on and so forth, might plan to do in 2019. Kate, thank you so much for joining us on Databook today. Welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be back. Happy New Year.
Now, before we dive into what's to come, let's look back at last year. And I know there was a lot of movement, but what do you think were a couple of the biggest healthcare moves made in Silicon Valley in 2018?
You know, 2018 was just such a big year. You know, we saw the year really kick off with the announcement from Amazon, JP Morgan, and Berkshire Hathaway that they were going to manage cost and care for their employees. And we spent, you know, kind of months questioning what that would look like. And there was lots of skepticism about how serious they were. And, you know, we've wrapped up that first year after that announcement with a $1 billion acquisition of PillPack. And PillPack is a company that will enable them to enter the pharmacy space. And, you know, you can think about a future where, you know, we're not just using Amazon Prime or Amazon Lockers to get our Bounty paper towels, but we can get our daily prescriptions from Amazon as well. It's a very, very big move and really secures a future for them in healthcare delivery with pharmacy as a starting point. They ended the year with a very substantial announcement about Comprehend Medical, which is an AI solution to, you know, help make sense of very complicated medical record data and come up with ways for healthcare organizations to take all of the kind of crazy data that goes into health record systems, but that is actually very hard to bubble up into meaningful engagement with patients. And Amazon is looking to really tackle that set of challenges for healthcare organizations. We saw similar movements and investments from Google and Microsoft, and both of them have made substantial investments in AI looking at very similar things. Apple has invested in actually creating a health record for the iPhone, and they're working with the Department of Veterans Affairs for products for them in particular. And, you know, as far as other 2018 moves that I think are worth talking about, you know, we've seen such investment in small startups that are doing great things in digital healthcare. You've got, you know, companies like Bright Health, which is like the new Oscar, and their new health insurance model saw great investment last year. You have companies like Buoy doing virtual care for United Optum, all sorts of great little tech startups all across the US are coming up. But really the theme at the end of the year, and I think we'll see it continue in 2019, was mergers and acquisitions.
Okay, moving ahead then. So what do you think we can expect from Amazon and its machine learning and pharmacy moves in the year ahead? Is it going to make any wildcard moves? Are we going to see any immediate impacts?
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting. I think Amazon is one of those companies that could do anything, and they could certainly surprise us at any moment. I mean, that's really been the one theme that they've carried in their first year in healthcare, is this element of surprise. And so I think that we should expect to continue to be surprised as this second year for them unfolds. They have hired Atul Gawande to run their healthcare operation, and he obviously brings a vast and impressive experience in healthcare delivery. And so as we think about what Amazon could do, they could do anything. I think they are most likely to start where they're strong, which is in things that marry the retail experience and data and tech enablement. So whether we're finding a way for Alexa to be enabling virtual visits or enabling prescription refills, simply allowing health organizations to start to innovate in their platform to build and deploy seamless digital experiences. I think all of those things are on the table, but for sure, 2019 is going to be a year to watch.
So now we have reports or educated guesses that Apple might dig its heels deeper into healthcare to make up for declining smartphone sales. Can you refresh our memory and tell us what Apple is doing in medicine and how you expect that to evolve this year?
Absolutely. You know, as far as Apple and healthcare, it is substantial that they got FDA clearance, which is not to be confused with FDA approval. FDA approval indicates kind of medical grade technology, and FDA clearance means it meets a minimum set of criteria to be considered a viable digital health technology. For the Apple Watch, for EKGs, which allow the watch to help consumers identify atypical or abnormal heart rhythm. And they had already been playing with continuous heart rate monitoring. They had done some studies. Prior versions of the watch did alert consumers to things like elevated heart rate or, you know, having a particular gap in heart rate. And so they've really doubled down on that technology, and they've invested in the hardware. And so I think, you know, the first thing I would say about what Apple's doing in healthcare and what is surprising is that initially, I think we expected that, you know, the hardware that they would release would be less frequent. So if you bought an Apple Watch, you might be able to hang on to it for a couple of years before there was a new and better, more exciting watch out there, and that they would mostly be innovating in the software space. And this move tells us that they're really going to invest heavily in both, that it's not just about innovating with software, it's also about innovating with the hardware. And I think we can expect to see that not just from Apple, but companies like Samsung. You know, this week is CES, and Samsung just announced a healthcare robot that does everything from sleep monitoring to helping you with emergency visits. So these tech companies are investing in hardware in a way that we haven't seen in a very long time, and certainly that we've never seen in healthcare from big tech giants. And kind of secondary to the watch and all of the hardware innovation they're doing, they've also expanded their software capabilities. And so they've got this whole suite of technologies that allows everyone from researchers to consumers to care delivery professionals to engage with patients in a way that is, you know, native to mobile technologies. And they're expanding that to do quite a bit of work with electronic health records.
Let's talk Google. They've been really busy with Verily and a whole bunch of AI diagnostic projects. What's next?
You know, Google is always doing such amazing things. I often talk about the fact that they have the most advanced virtual assistant for healthcare. So Google Home has the ability to identify individual household members, and it can be enabled as a kind of what we would call a HIPAA compliant service in a healthcare environment. So last year, almost a year ago, they demonstrated at Health 2.0 that they could schedule an appointment via Google Home with Epic, one of the larger health record vendors, in just a couple of minutes. I mean, I think about the fact that every time I call Mass General for a doctor's appointment, it takes me 15, 20 minutes to get to a person on the phone to get an appointment, and it's not a great experience. The idea that, you know, Google has created a technology that could make it possible for me to do that in minutes from my home without ever having to pick up the phone, I mean, that's profound. And they've done nothing but continue to expand on that. So they've released tons of features within Google Cloud to be more healthcare friendly. They're a high trust certified platform, which is incredibly impressive for a public cloud vendor. They are doing lots around both dictation and reading and understanding medical literature in the AI front. So all of that is incredibly exciting as we think about what Google could do from not only kind of an application development, digital experience creation perspective, but also solving some of the bigger issues with data in healthcare and doing so in a way that's compliant and secure.
So before I let you go, we've got a bunch of tech giants and small startups that are punching their way into healthcare hard. Some of it's real, some of it could be real one day, and some of it seems just like speculation. What do you recommend our friends who run health systems and hospitals know to succeed in this environment?
You know, I think it's such a tough job being a healthcare CIO today. And it's tough because you're responsible for an evolving technology stack. And most of those CIOs are, you know, held captive by a fair amount of technologies that are outdated, or they're built in on-premise deployments that don't necessarily play well with these new technologies. And all the while, they must maintain security and a compliant posture and meet the needs of their stakeholders. So they are the ones that are beholden to the physicians that don't love their health records. And they're the ones that are beholden to, you know, the patients who are worried about data breaches. And they're the ones that are beholden to, you know, the CFO for making sure they stay on budget. And so when I think about what they need to focus on, you know, for 2019 and beyond, I think, you know, for one, figuring out what your cloud strategy is just about the most important thing for any CIO to figure out, because you can't engage with these new digital innovations if you're not engaging with cloud. And secondarily to that, many of these healthcare organizations have gotten to the size and scale of data that they can't grow long-term in their on-premise data warehouse environment. So it's not just about using cloud so that they can do these pilot projects for clinical research or, you know, these one-off investments. They also have to think about, how do you start to use cloud for infrastructure? How do you start to reconcile these older legacy systems and really modernize your tech stack? And from there, how do you take those pilot projects and figure out what are the ones you want to live with? What are the ones you want to adopt? And how do you scale them? I think we've seen tons and tons of pilot programs in different parts of the healthcare ecosystem, whether it's using an Apple Watch to track heart rate, whether it's using Samsung's virtual reality, whether it's the Google contact lens for monitoring glucose. You know, we've seen these great pilot projects. How do we take those and make them mainstream so that we start to get ROI in the space and so that we start to really transform the digital experience? And I think that's really where people should focus in 2019 and beyond.
Thanks, Kate.
Thank you. Great to be back and happy 2019.
So that marks the end of this episode of Databook, but it is only the beginning of season 3.
Please remember to check us out online at hcanews.com, medtechboston.com, and also all of our social media handles.
And if you're a fan of Databook, be sure to rate, subscribe, and review.
I'm Jack Murtha.
And I'm Tom Castles.
And this is Databook.